It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's presidential primary is set for April. We check in on the Republican presidential nominating process as New Hampshire voters selected former President Donald Trump over former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley in the first primary in the nation. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, your reaction, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me on this morning. It's great to be here.
So former President Donald Trump wins the Republican New Hampshire primary with 54% of the vote, also winning the Iowa caucuses last week. Has Trump already wrapped up the Republican nomination?
It seems pretty much more likely than not. And this is also what the polls have been reflecting for quite some time. Nikki Haley has not dropped out of the race, and she's his most ardent contender at this point. And she's also asked for a two-person race. And so now she has that because Ron DeSantis dropped out over the weekend. But I do think it's more likely than not that Trump will be the Republican nominee.
It seems like we've heard the sentiment, though, that Americans don't want a Biden-Trump rematch. And yet here we are, like, closing in on one. How do you see that?
Well, again, you're not seeing necessarily all that competitive a primary on the Democratic side. Mm-hmm. There usually isn't one when the incumbent president is from the party, either the Democrats or the Republicans. And so, at this point, it's likely that Joe Biden will be the Democratic nominee. And so that left, who would the Republicans choose? And there were quite a few people contending for it. But the entire time that we've been looking at this and that, you've had people running for the nomination, Trump has been far ahead in the polls, his other colleagues quite far behind him. So the setup was kind of looking like it was going to be a rematch between Trump and Biden, and it's continuing to look that way. And in a lot of ways, it's a sort of strange rematch between two incumbents, one mm-hmm. actual incumbent, Joe Biden, because he is the incumbent president at this point, and one recent incumbent in Donald Trump. And so that is an interesting and unique situation.
Now, as we examine Nikki Haley staying in the race, has her sights set on the February 24th primary in South Carolina, where she was governor. What does Haley need to do to shift the dynamics of this race?
Well, she needs to appeal to quite a few of the Republican-based voters who are otherwise going to support Donald Trump. And she's been trying to do that. Obviously, she tried to do it to a degree in Iowa, and even more so in New Hampshire. And as many sort of analysts and pundits have noted, that New Hampshire was kind of tailor-made for Nikki Haley's message. And because independents can vote in the Republican or Democratic mm-hmm. Contest in New Hampshire, it means that there were a lot of folks who would indicate themselves as independents who were able to vote for Nikki Haley, and yet she still was not able to, come within even 10 points of Donald Trump. So she's looking at South Carolina, which has been a good state for Donald Trump in the past. It is her home state, obviously, and it is a place where she was governor. But the disposition of the electorate there is more inclined towards Trump than it is towards Haley.
We're talking about the 2024 presidential campaign. Lily Gorin, political scientist at Carroll University in Waukesha, is here. You can join in with questions, comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Haley said she called it her sweet state of South Carolina, that being her next one, the next primary for her. But it's like a month away. Does that Does that distance help or hurt Haley, do you think?
I have a feeling it may be more problematic than an asset, because it's, you know, it's going to have a long period of time of campaigning in the state. And, you know, if the poll numbers don't reflect her having strength in the state against Trump, because there will be polls that will take place between now and the election there, it may in fact lead her to possibly leave the race earlier. Because we do have this now really long, we have a month before this South Carolina primary. So if polls don't sort of show her getting close to Trump, that may be an indication to her and her funders that this is just is not going to happen.
You have to keep the campaign funded enough for her to stay on the airwaves as well, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also Nevada sort of close in there as well. And if you're going to continue from South Carolina and Nevada, you've got to prime yourself for Super Tuesday, which is a huge number of states voting all together.
And, you know, I would imagine Haley and the team around her are trying to hold on for that moment when, like, over a dozen states hold primaries on Super Tuesday.
And again, that's, you know, you have to have a lot of money to advertise in all those states and get to them as well. You know, so she's going to spend a lot of time in South Carolina now campaigning, then she's not going to be campaigning in other states as well.
Wisconsin's primary is set for April 2nd. Could either the Democratic or Republican presidential primaries in Wisconsin have any effect on the race?
It's possible. It's improbable, but it's possible. So I never want to tell people, you know, not to vote, because one of the things I do as a political scientist is advocate participation in democracy. But I'm not sure when we reach April 2nd if we won't already know who is likely to be the two nominees.
So Jeff from Delafield called in and is wondering how much of Trump's support is from Democrats or Democratic-minded voters voting for him in the primary with the idea that he's beatable in the general election in November.
Well, I mean, again, if we're looking at this state by state, I would say in Iowa, not likely to be the case at all. Because it was a caucus, because you had to actually come out on a very, very, very cold night, that it is unlikely that there were very many Democrats who came to the caucuses to support Trump in that way. New Hampshire is a little bit of a different sort of situation, and there may have been some. But if we're looking at polling in other states, you're polling people who are, you know, in the screens, you're sort of asking them, are they Democrats? Are they Republicans? And obviously people can, you know, say something that's not actually accurate when they're polled. But, you know, it seems like there weren't a lot of Democrats who came out to vote for Donald Trump in New Hampshire. In part because a lot of folks were potentially trying to vote for somebody who they thought would potentially more likely be less of a threat, shall I say, to democracy. And that seemed to be what independents and people who were possibly crossing over from other parties were doing there.
We get analysis on the Republican presidential primary season with Carroll University political science professor Lily Gorin. And there's room to discuss. Call in with a question. You can share your views at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Presidential primary season is underway. Wisconsin's is set for April 2nd. with former President Donald Trump fresh off a win in New Hampshire over former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. Let's hear your thoughts. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lily Gorin is a political science and global studies professor at Carroll University and stays with us. Let's bring in Celia in Madison. Hi, Celia.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the call. I have one comment and one question. I've been involved in politics and government all of my life, and I'm old from the time I was 16 here in Wisconsin. And I lived in the East for many years, and what I saw and I see a bit in the Midwest is that Democratic candidates were reluctant to campaign in rural areas or eager to sit in the state assemblies because they had, shall we say, low opinions of country people. And I know of one district in Illinois that was the case. So it seems the Democrats may be losing their own races if they're not really taking all the population seriously. But my question is, last time I looked at political statistics, 40% of the population evenly split between Democrats and Republicans were independents. So for primaries, does Professor Gorin know how many states in which you have to be registered Republicans, or how many states, I think like New Hampshire, independents could vote?
Celia, thank you for that. Lily, go ahead.
The states have different rules with regard to who can vote and if they are, quote, open or closed primaries. And more states have opportunities for what we would call sort of more open primaries, which is you can go in and take a ballot for the Republicans or for the Democrats. You don't have to be registered with any particular party to do so. And so that there are opportunities for people to cross over who could be Democrats or who regularly vote Democrats and take a Republican ballot, or the other way around. There are fewer states that are we know as closed at this point, that you have to have been registered or connected to a particular party and that you only can get that party's ballot. There are far fewer of those at this point. Most people who are primary voters tend to be more enthusiastic, quote, base voters. So it's less likely that they are people who, don't have a particular inclination. And oftentimes, you don't have the same kinds of numbers and turnout that you do in a general election during the primaries as well, because mm-hmm. it is usually drilled down to those more enthusiastic, more committed base voters.
Can you speak to the rural and urban divide in political campaign strategy?
I am not an expert on that in any capacity, but I have not seen very much by way of Democratic reluctance to campaign in rural areas, nor Republican reluctance to necessarily campaign in urban areas. And you go where your voters are likely to be. And so that is often what, sort of directs people in their campaign strategies, is trying to reach the most voters that mm-hmm. you're likely to get, or more voters that you're likely to get. And lots of states are like Wisconsin, which have urban areas, suburban areas, and rural areas. I think we have seen over the years candidates coming or not coming, as was the case in 2016 in the Clinton campaign, to Wisconsin, to various areas in Wisconsin, too.
JJ in Green Bay called in and is wondering, how are former President Trump's legal troubles going to affect his candidacy?
Well, there's a lot of analysis and discussion of this at this point, in part because some of the situations where he needs to, quote, be in court are going to take him off the campaign trail. But what some folks are suggesting, and I think that this is fairly accurate, is that he's using those court appearances and also his comments before and after he is in a courtroom as essentially campaign stops in their own right, so that he is talking to voters and potential constituents about his legal situations and sort of making the case that he is, you know, he is being targeted. And so that he's sort of turning some of these court cases into a kind of venue for him to make his case to voters.
In order to stump. Yeah. And here's a follow-up. Brian in Door County is wondering, with the pending court cases against Trump, if he's found guilty and declared ineligible to run, who would be the Republican on the ticket? Brian says maybe Nikki Haley is hoping to stay in the race just in this scenario.
Anything is possible in that regard. And of course, we have to get to the point where Donald Trump would be declared ineligible, which is not necessarily a simple thing. Even if he were convicted, that doesn't mean he can't run for president. And so I think that, you know, Nikki Haley and to a degree Ron DeSantis were actually in the race to kind of sort of be there in case something like that came to pass. And we still have quite a few months, obviously, until the general election in November. So it is possible that, you know, one of these other candidates who was running this cycle would step in or be, you know, sort of appointed.
Just because you suspend doesn't mean you couldn't do the opposite, I suppose.
Exactly. You could re-engage.
Lily Gorin, political scientist at Carroll University in Waukesha, and fielding your questions on presidential primary season. You can join in 800-642-1234. Kevin in Janesville is here. Kevin, hi.
Hey, good morning. My frustration is that at this point of the primary season, fewer than a quarter of a million people have decided for the rest of the country who's going to be in and who's not going to be in. If the system were more of a proportionality of the vote, gets that number of delegates, would that encourage more people to stay in the race for longer so that later states actually do have a voice? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Lily.
Well, you know, again, this is the nominating process that we have is interesting and complicated. And I understand exactly Kevin's frustration, because it does sort of feel like it's ending before it really even began. And, you know, the parties themselves are the ones who structure the way that they nominate their candidates. And so we moved from, you know, sort of closed door, cigar smoke filled rooms to these more sort of democratic, small d democratic ways of selecting candidates. But it certainly is not a perfect system.
Vice President Kamala Harris, as you know, visited Wisconsin this week advocating for reproductive rights, including the right to an abortion. Democrats have benefited in recent elections from promoting abortion rights. Do you think will abortion as an issue outweigh other issues like the economy or immigration this year?
I don't know that it will outweigh it, but I think it will be a key issue that people are considering in casting their ballots in November, not just for the president, but also for other elected officials in their states, particularly because that's also where some of these decisions are being made around abortion and abortion policies. I would also say that it's likely that some states will also have abortion issues on the ballot themselves, which may also draw out people to vote in terms of what the ballot issue is around abortion. So I think immigration, I think the economy, I think abortion are all going to be top line issues for voters.
And really quickly here, will Wisconsin's vote be a deciding factor once again? Are we decidedly a battleground state?
I believe that we are.
We are.
And
so Wisconsin, you know, being that pivotal swing state, I would imagine you will see the campaigns coming through here frequently?
Yeah, I mean, and again, we have already seen that. Obviously, yeah. we've seen the president and the vice president here. We've seen Trump here on occasion. We are going to have the Republican National Committee here for their convention. I have a feeling that there will be a lot of folks coming through Wisconsin in the next 8 months.
Lily, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. And for disclosure, Carroll University is a business sponsor of WPR. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.